is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
What if I started a Chaucer podcast? Guys, let's pitching this.
Talk Chaucer.
Talk Chaucer to me.
Oh, dear.
Chaucer talk.
You're on your own. Chaucer.
Oh, Kelsey doesn't want
Chaucer fire.
Nope.
Oh, damn,
I like that a lot.
I know we're joking, but I'm probably going to think about this a lot. What if we had a live episode every year at the Ren Fair?
Damn.
It's happening right now.
Now I'm co-hosting that with you.
We're doing this. It's happening. What kind of guest could we get?
Chaucer no fire. I feel like we would just put up fucking open calls to USC and UCLA and just get nothing but annoying grad students.
Oh, it'd be the best. Because who they're the worst? Grad students. They're graduate students. They're the worst.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Very we're not true. The worst people.
3, 4. Podcast. We're making a podcast about 30 Rock. Podcast. We're making a podcast about 30 Rock. Calling it Talk 30 to me, it is great.
Hey, this is Kelsey.
I'm Kimmy.
And this is Talk 30 Rock to Me.
Talk 30 Rock to Me.
Woo!
We're never going to get that to be less awkward.
Never,
it's
ever,
gonna
ever.
Work.
We are on our way through season 3 right now of 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not alone today.
We are not alone today.
We have, okay, I was going to just intro, I was thinking about this on the way here, and I was going to joke that we have a guest here, and I was going to talk about the fact that he's had a tweet retweeted by J.K. Rowling. And that was going to be the claim to fame.
I didn't know that. And that's like, I just got more nervous. This is so exciting. I am honored to be in your presence.
So
what did that feel like? No, we're stopping.
Hang on.
Going into this. What did that, you should say his name and then I'm gonna
I know,
ask.
Hang on a second. We have the other half of the Best of Friends podcast host with us, of the host. We had Aaron with us a couple of months ago and we have Mr. Jamie Woodham with us today.
Hello.
Hi, Jamie.
Hey, Jamie.
Okay.
Here.
Now, what did that feel like? I'm sorry. You shouldn't have dropped that
sorry,
on me when we started recording.
It was very surreal. So.
What was the tweet? Walk
it was the
this.
Best tweet in the
Here's
entire.
Here's what happened.
I saw it on posts before I ever was like, isn't that Jamie from the Friends podcast?
First of all, just to put it out there so that we can like acknowledge it for everyone. This is the shittiest conversation to have.
Fair
is
enough.
Someone talking about their own tweet? No, I mean, from my point of view.
I was like, did we put you in a position?
No. I just want people to know that I realize the ridiculousness of all the things I'm about to say. So
you've earned this, though, dude.
I made an objectively dumb but good joke about Donald Trump and Horcruxes and nuclear launch codes. And I believe it was like in the evening sometime. And so it was like, I made a tweet and it was doing well. And so as someone who does comedy and tweets and things, I was like, oh, that's cool. Awesome. I'll go about my evening. And then it was like later, because I'm nocturnal, I was getting a shower at like midnight or like 1 a.m, like ending my day and stuff. And then I got out of the shower and my phone had exploded with everything. It was like one of those things. I don't know if sometimes if you sleep in too late or whatever, you get up and you look at your phone and you're just scrolling through notifications.
The world's awake and you're not.
Yeah, you're just like, what the fuck? Like 10 people texted me and I have emails and like, what the hell is going on? And that happened in like the 15 minutes I was in the shower.
Oh my gosh. And your life changed in the shower is what happened.
as it often does. And so I got out and I was like looking. I was like, what the fuck? And I scrolled all the way down.
Oh,
and
my
it just
gosh.
Said like, J.K. Rowling retweeted your tweet or whatever. And then I opened Twitter and it just crashed.
Oh my God.
Over and over. Like, I was literally like, I kept trying to open it to look at it. And every time I did, it was just like, Twitter was like, no. Like, sorry, dude.
Take a beat, man.
Throwing in the towel. Because it was literally. And again, this is like the dumbest conversation I've
No, I'm like living in this right now. This is amazing.
It was getting like hundreds of retweets and favorites like per second. Like
oh
every
gosh.
Time I like opened it. And I think it's in like the hundreds of thousands now or
it's
whatever.
Really hot, yeah.
But it was like, yeah. But it was it took me like a good hour or so to even like be able to like start looking at my Twitter and stuff again.
That's the dream.
And then, wait, I can, well, here, I'll show you. It's in the kitchen, but I was going to go get it, but then I would have to, like, put my mic down and stuff. But one of my friends did an objectively awesome thing for me, and got it framed.
No, it's huge. If you don't mind. Oh,
it
my
is,
God.
It's huge.
So the actual tweet is just like, it was, that was a really good,
oh my God,
a good joke.
So oh, it was also, very, very predictory.
Oh, 100%. So the actual
in a
tweet,
very shitty way, because this was during the presidential campaign. Like, this was before the election.
When, oh, this was pretty?
It was actually, it was, I think it was exactly a year ago.
It, looked,
it was
oh, like August last 11th is when you posted
oh,
this
last
picture.
August, yeah. So it was like way before we even had like the general election or anything.
So the picture is of the tweet blown. It's on J.K. Rowling's face on her Twitter timeline, and the very top tweet is Jamie's tweet, and the tweet was Donald Trump asking about the nuclear weapons is the biggest red flag since Voldemort asked about Horcruxes as a teenager at Hogwarts.
Dear Lord.
And it's just,
well done,
that is,
man,
beautiful.
Well done. No, because here's the thing, J.K. Rowling knows you exist. She doesn't know like the details, but
that
she knows you're a human,
yeah,
that's
she
living
to your
and
podcast
breathing
now.
And that's like, I just don't know what to do with that. If J.K. Rowling knew that I was a human being, I would be very, very proud
that's
of myself,
why, like,
and
it,
probably cry.
On the surface, it seems like a really stupid, dumb thing. But for me, as someone who's like Harry Potter is like far and away my favorite piece of art that exists in the human world. And
good man.
Yeah. And then it was just the all of the things that came together, like you said, where it's like I'm a writer. So, like, I wrote something, and my favorite writer saw it and liked the thing I wrote. Plus, it was a joke that involved my favorite thing and also involved politics, which is, like, my entire background.
Uh-huh.
And so I was just, like, it was all these cool things that came together in a really, like, tiny but awesome way. And, like, it was just, like, one joke.
Wouldn't it have sucked if you had, like, spelled something wrong in it? And you're like,
it would have been a true homage to Trump, though, if you had done that. It would have been the truest way to honor and to really discuss Trump. Is
that, yeah,
been
that, man, that would
follow
have been
his
rough
syntax.
That's happened as someone who's, like, been in these Twitter streets since the beginning.
Oh.
I've had a couple, like, back when I was in college.
Tweet sense. Anyway, I'm done.
Back when I was in college, when I first started doing the whole Twitter thing, I had my top tweet for a while had a typo in it.
Ugh.
And it drove me crazy for months until I decided one day, I was like fuck this, and I just went and deleted like my most popular tweet.
Ooh.
even though it had because it had a typo in,
yeah,
it. And I've still just been like, I don't regret it.
Yeah,
I
was, that, that
I
was
had
the right
to.
You knew it was
to
out there, and
plus
you,
it was like, I don't know, it wasn't even the best joke. Like, that is now like by far my top tweet,
yeah,
and I like it. It's a decent joke. It's prescient, but like the other one, it was like a Lindsay Lohan, Jamie Lee Curtis joke,
okay,
of some sort. It was like a Freaky Friday joke.
Oh yeah, okay.
Not like topically, it wasn't like at that time, but it was. I don't even remember. It was some stupid joke.
That's
all you need to know.
That sounds. I'm a big Jamie Lee Curtis fan, so you would have won me over probably with it, because she's True Lies. Everyone nice should watch it.
Well, I just want to thank everyone again for tuning in to TwitterCast.
Yes, that is what our podcast
number
is
one
all about.
Number one investigatory tweet podcast.
That's, I just go through.
I'm
going to
stop
and
fucking
like,
up words soon, so don't worry. I woke up right before you guys got here, so I'm.
No, you're doing good.
Getting these coffees in my bones.
No, I meant good to earlier say. Instead of street smarts, tweet smarts.
Ooh.
But I said tweet sense, which was wrong. But when you,
yes,
I was trying to say tweet smarts, not.
We're struggling.
We're gonna find the words here.
We'll get there.
We're
so
find
I just
want to
say,
soon.
I just was like so mad. I'm like, I can't let that lie. I can't let that that missed joke. It's not even a good joke, but it really bothered me that I said it wrong.
You just went through and deleted your old comment.
It's all coming around.
Look,
it's all coming.
In the
around
interest of honesty, I think I misused prescient like 10 minutes ago. So
you
it's
didn't.
All
it
good
was. It was accurately used,
okay,
if I remember correctly.
I'm just getting this coffee in. Do you guys need Foley?
First of all, if you buy stuff on Amazon, buy stuff through our Amazon link at boardwalkaudio.com/talk30rock to me.
Do it.
Buy lots of good stuff.
Great.
Buy a Harry Potter.
Oh,
if
perfect.
If you haven't read that, you probably shouldn't listen to our podcast. But
I just gave someone a long talking to about that. So
also, if you
Steven,
already love
you.
If you already love Harry Potter, you should listen to the podcast Harry Potter and the Sacred Text. Mm-hmm. It is such a good podcast, and I was listening to it on the way here today because it's a really, really good podcast.
People are big fans.
It's fantastic. Before we get started on the episode and before we do other stuff, I think we want to hear, what do we call it, your meet cute with 30 Rock, Jamie.
Yes.
We're assuming you have watched 30 Rock more than just this one episode.
And if you haven't, that's all right. But how did you first hear of it? How did you first start watching us? Like, tell us your rom-com story with 30 Rock.
I have, as you may be able to tell, more books and movies than some small town libraries.
I see bossy pants.
Oh, yeah. You can also, you're looking at like maybe a tenth of both collection. Like,
that's awesome.
There's a lot more in the kitchen. There's a lot more in other places. And I only brought out like a third of my collection. One day when I hit it big,
right,
a la Liz Lemon, mm-hmm. I'm gonna be like, I'm sending a truck to your house and they're taking all my goodies out here to right. California for me.
Anyway, so your 30 Rock, yeah.
My 30 Rock story was in high school, I lived right next to a Movie Stop, which for those that don't know, is like a GameStop for movies, but they don't have them everywhere for whatever reason.
Like a Blockbuster, is that a better comparison?
No.
Oh, no, you actually buy the...
Yeah, it's new and used, mostly used, like DVDs, Blu-rays and stuff.
Okay.
And it was amazing because you could like, just like at GameStop, you can like trade in, you can find like, you just look through their things and it's like, oh, like a used copy of Young Guns for like $1.99.
Great movie.
Yeah, I know.
Why don't we talk about more? Anything Emilio Estevez I'm in, please continue.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I had it on VHS, so I was like, I gotta upgrade. Mm-hmm. And so I had a job in high school, or I had a few jobs, and since I wasn't paying rent, I spent all of my money on books and movies. And I would just like, every time I got paid, me and my friends would just go to GameStop or to Movie Stop and leave with like literally dozens of DVDs and stuff. And I've always been a huge TV fan, and it's probably why I'm now like a TV writer and stuff. It's just always been a really big, important part of my life, like one of my big passions. And so I would very often, I would love to find like seasons of shows and stuff. And I'm guessing since it was like 06, like near the end of high school or beginning of college, I remember getting like just blindly getting the first couple seasons of 30 Rock.
Okay.
Cause I knew it'd be good. Like I was a big NBC fan growing up, obviously big Friends fan and yeah. everything. And I think that was around the same time that like The Office was really popping off and stuff. And so, you know, 30 Rock is one of those things too, where like you can look at the DVD box and having not seen it be like, okay, well there's seven hilarious people.
Right. Right.
Like this looks like a really, and it's like, and as like a TV fanatic, you're like, oh, and it takes place in 30 Rock and it's about like a comedy show. Like this is fucking
check.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As the longest standing defender of Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Good man.
I will,
Yes.
Yeah.
We might be doing that after this.
That's what I
haven't seen it yet because I love Aaron Sorkin. I've just never watched it. And
I love it.
Well, if
so
you
want
to be true to the story, you should do it at the same time as this and then have 30 Rock win out.
Damn it. We didn't think of that. That would be a great dueling podcast.
Right.
But so I think that was it. I think I'm almost certain I just blindly bought the first, couple seasons and then really enjoyed it.
That's a great
and
story.
And the rest is history.
I like it. Her story.
I almost said that. But then I was like, that won't make sense. I'm talking about myself. And I'm a male person.
But it's a Liz Lemon thing, you know. No, but the show is a female, according to Tina. Or Liz, I guess.
True. So I read the show as about Jack McBrayer, but you know, whatever.
Ooh, interesting.
You did a really good job of explaining like what like appealed to you and why like the idea of the show excited you. But as you got into it and watched it, what about the show? I mean, I would say it's a very unique show. I would say it mm-hmm. holds a special place in my heart. Clearly, mm-hmm. What about the show really stood out to you? Like, what about
didn't?
It? You just like I hated it.
Kimmy, do a podcast with me, please.
I'm okay on the show.
It's fine. I guess I'm here. No, but like as someone who appreciates sitcoms and good writing, what about the show stood out to you?
I have a lot of very interesting to me, at least, opinions about 30 Rock that like I maybe didn't know I had until we started talking about it and stuff, which mm-hmm. I think happens with a lot of stuff where you think you have like a passing interest in something and then someone asks you about it and then you're like red-faced 15 minutes later. You're just like lecturing them about it.
It's the best.
30 Rock is really interesting as a show. Yep,
we
that's
agree.
One way
we
to
agree.
Start.
It different.
I think 30 Rock is really different from anything else that I can think of that wasn't also created by Tina and Robert. Mm-hmm. In that it's a live action cartoon.
Hmm.
Interesting.
That's always been my read on it, and I've talked to other people like especially in TV that have had like that have the same opinion of it. It's a really good thing. It's really interesting. And I think it's why, like, I mean, really, other than like Kimmy Schmidt mm-hmm. and like a handful of other things that I can't even think of right now, it plays different and it reads different than any other sitcom. Yeah. And obviously it's really fast paced and witty and stuff. But then when you look at even down to like the orchestration of it and like the staging and the music and everything and like the sense of humor to a certain point, like it's very cartoonish. And I think that I don't really see that with any other sitcoms that come to mind, especially prior to 30 Rock. I mean, since then, there's a couple that are, you know, they kind of like go in mm-hmm. the same tonal direction, or then obviously anything else that
by them
Tina and Robert do. Yeah, it's like it comes out a little similar. Community had like a little bit of that vibe, but mm-hmm. it was still like it's still decidedly a different thing. I think the pace is much slower. It's like,
yeah,
you still have a really like referential cartoony yeah. sense of humor. But I think that's about as far as the comparison goes there.
That is fascinating. When you said it, the first thing I immediately thought of was like the Family Guy style flashbacks that they do all the
yeah,
time.
Exactly.
But in particularly how, and then I also immediately thought of her as a Kathy cartoon. Uh-huh. but no, I'm going to like really chew on that, 'cause that's a really interesting theory. And I, from first thoughts, that totally stands up.
I think really 30 Rock is far more similar to most animated shows than it is to any other sitcom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think that, but I think that's why it's great, is it's like, it really is the first of its kind. In a lot of regards, one of which being it's just a new thing. It's I think it I don't know if you guys ever look at the scripts or anything. Mm-hmm. When
I looked at the pilot, Aaron actually sent us the pilot script for okay. the Japan Online.
It's thing. I the pilot or the pilots, the scripts, I think in particular read a lot like animation, and in a lot of ways, like you were saying, mm-hmm. with you know, with the cutaways and flashback jokes and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's just I've always been really fascinated by that aspect of it.
Well, no, and particularly the show moves so quickly. It moves quickly to the, I mean, animated shows can have like such an incredible pace and can do things because you're not dealing with actual people most of the time. Mm-hmm. You're drawing them, so you can make them do whatever they want. And that's kind of the 30 Rock is so crazy because it feels like that. The pace they move,
yeah.
the way they construct things, it's a little otherworldly. And it's, I think there's something of 30 Rock feels like a feat to me almost every time I watch it, particularly their great episodes.
Yeah.
I'm just like, how did they put this together?
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that's, I never put to words the way, but I can see that like it functions like an animated show in the sense where it has that lightness and that movement.
Yeah.
I'm going to really think about this for way too long. I'm probably going to bring it up in like 10 episodes
Please
after
do.
This.
Well, it's also, it even comes down to like the staging and the direction and stuff where you have like things that you usually only see in animation, like you have like these like drastic whip pans and like mm-hmm. spinaways and stuff. And mm-hmm. there's like, there's so much like visual whooshing
mm-hmm.
and like flying about that it like, it adds an even more like whimsical flair to an already like decidedly whimsical show.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But yeah, it's, I've always found that fascinating, and it definitely only adds to, you know, the admiration and respect I have for the show.
Mm-hmm. Decidedly whimsical. I want that to be the tagline of something I do. I don't know if I can earn it, but I want to try. That's delightful.
Headstone.
You know what? Yes. I think I can earn that. I think that's the only thing I can earn is my life. Kimmy Lucas, decidedly whimsical.
I like that.
I'm going to, yes. Okay, cool. I'm taking
Twitter
note.
Bio.
But, well, here, real quick. Do you want to do 30-30?
We can do 30-30.
All right, 30-30.
You're not whispering.
No, I don't know why
fine.
I'm not in a whispery
Whatever.
Mood.
I'm changing what I was going to do for my 30-30, actually.
Oh, and interesting. What are we doing?
So one of our listeners, and I'm going to butcher his name, but he's very sweet and very interactive with us, Andres Kedzior.
Is he who I keep talking to you about Larry Sanders' show?
Yes, he is.
Andre!
So he sent us a tweet because he was excited that we're coming back for season 3. So it was a couple of weeks ago at this point. But it was a link to a commercial that Two for Frank Lutz and Liz did a commercial that was for football, like the NFL. I can't remember if it was for the Super Bowl, but also for Pizza Hut. And it's
those two things do go together hand in hand.
Interesting.
It's this minute long commercial, and I'll retweet it once when this episode comes out.
Also, how much vertical integration is that, which is so perfectly 30 Rock as well?
100%.
They're like, someone watched the School of Business by Jack Donaghy and then made this commercial.
Yes.
Anyway,
so
please
it was
continue.
This whole thing where like they're walking around the hallway beforehand and Toofer's all mad because Liz turned off all the TVs so they can't watch football or something. And so then they walk into the sports studio, wherever like the sportscasters normally are, and they're like, does it get any better than this? We know it can make it better. And so Frank calls Pizza Hut.
Classic.
And so Pizza shows up and they're sitting there, and Let says, well, do you know what could make this worse? And it makes them, they're all running on treadmills eating pizza. And then they're like, this is the worst. And then Let says, well, do you know what could make this sexier? And Tina Fey rolls in bright, bright spandex onesie type thing on rollerblades, like her bra's hanging out. And they're all like, oh, like this is Let's fantasy. This isn't ours.
Oh my God.
She's like, this is ridiculous. And she rolls away. And it was just funny. It was a whole thing about Pizza Hut and their supreme pizza. But then it cuts back to the newscasters because they've just watched the commercial. I'm like, we're gonna have to call Jack Donaghy about that or something. It was really cute and funny, but
that's so like, weird.
He's all upset because when Toofer's like, yeah, she turned off the TVs, Let's is like, yeah, she turned off and we can't watch the Madonna concert. And Frank is all, you know, there's a football game on either side of that Madonna concert, right? And he's like, yeah, the Oakland Razors and the Detroit Spiders. It's just really funny, and it's it's adorable, and it's a minute.
See,
and
this
I'll
is,
retweet that.
This is blowing my mind because this is canon, like, because they've never really hinted at Let's having a thing for Liz in any way. And then they're just throwing that in a branded commercial.
Yep.
Like, that's a bold statement, yep. Which, I mean, speaks well of their attitude. That they're like, this commercial is going to matter.
Also, I've never thought that Toofer cared about sports that much.
Yeah, he's faking it to impress Frank. Like, you know that's what's happening. Yeah. But still, very, very weird and interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm going to watch it. I feel like I almost don't believe it's a real thing. You explained it very well, but I've never seen this, nor does this make any sense to me.
Well, I will show you the video.
I mean, it's not that I don't actually not believe you. It's more like this is just the strangest branded commercial I've ever heard of. Other than the fact that 30 Rock did the Hulu commercials where they got disfigured,
right.
And I really enjoyed that one.
That's right.
But interesting. Yep. Well, thanks for that share.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna watch that and probably tweet about it a lot.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Did you have a 30-30, Jamie, possibly?
Yeah, I have a really strange one. I just
go for it, man.
As of when we're recording this, Chris Gethardt's new HBO special came out last night. It's called Career Suicide. It's mostly just about actual suicide.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, it's really dark. That's why I've seen a couple people refer to it as a stand-up special, but I don't think it is.
He calls it his one-man show,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's very... I think if anyone is... If you've liked anything that Mike Birbiglia is doing in the last few years, I think you'd really dig it. Cool. Or if you just like Chris Gethardt because he's really great and hilarious. But he told, there's a story in there. I don't want to get like spoiler or anything. It's not really anything to spoil, but I don't want to step on his material. But it's like, he talks a good bit at one point about an experience he had with Jack McBrayer, in which they were doing a show at UCB together. I think they were doing Ass Cat together.
Okay.
And Jack McBrayer like made some like joking dig at him, and it kind of made him snap, and he like left the show and like went out on like an all night like soul searching.
Oh my gosh.
Kind of
Whoa.
Thing. Like it was like, but it was one of those things where like, and he says like several times, he's like, me and Jack are really good friends. Like this is nothing on him. It was just like this experience, this tiny thing. Yeah. It was like,
dang,
it was like the catalyst for this whole like life changing thing that he had going on. So it was just when we sat down earlier and you mentioned like if anyone had anything, I was like, oh, I heard a thing about Jack McBrayer last night, so
oh, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, so everyone check that out on HBO. And if you don't have HBO, what are you doing?
Yeah, get it together.
Who are you trying to impress?
I know.
That reminds me, like, that situation happening of, like, just something that wouldn't normally affect you, but it just had a huge effect on you.
Yeah.
My sister and I always call that the wind blowing the pen off the desk, because there'd be times, she worked at my office for a while, and she'd be having a rough day, and we just laughed that, because one thing after one thing after one thing, and then the wind knocked the pen off the desk, and you just lost it.
Yeah.
That, like, that would not affect you in any other day except for today. That was his pen getting blown off the desk.
ahead into this episode?
Let's get into this episode. So our episode today is episode 3 of season 3, the one with the cast of Night Court. Mm-hmm. Air date was November 13th, 2008. Director was Gail Mancuso and writer was Jack Burdett. Before I even get into my recap, one of the reasons why we wanted Jamie on this episode was because Jennifer Aniston is here.
Woohoo!
And he knows a little bit about her.
Actually
what she was
here.
Up to. She's
come
here.
Come on in, Jen.
How much you guys freak if I like, if like she like actually walked in from the kitchen? And I was
hello.
Boom.
You're like, Aaron
Surprise.
Couldn't make it, so he
I just
Jen.
Watched that Adam Scott Mark Hamill video. It sounds like my friend's music just starts playing and you're just like freaking
was that
out.
You know what? Was that on Kimmel or?
That the Kristen Bell host of Kimmel. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. You know, funny is when I was watching that, it popped up and you know how Facebook is always like, and the next video was the episode when Jennifer Aniston was on, I think it was on Kimmel, and that they recreated the set and that Lisa
Kudrow the Friends
and
episode.
All of them popped out mm-hmm. too. It just went from that to that.
Yep. The one with the reunion.
Mm-hmm. But so before I even get to the recap though, the name of this episode is the one with the cast of Night Court, which is following the pattern that they use for the Friends episodes, the one with, which was kind
of
fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say one of the best things about this episode is the title.
Right.
It really, it's
just
a
that
fair
it's,
point.
It's very referential to obviously Night Court, but you know, also. A little more suddenly the Friends thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that was, it's my favorite thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of it.
Well, now we don't need to talk about the rest.
That's all
of it.
I have to say about this entire episode.
Full disclosure, I didn't watch it. I just read the title and I was like, got it.
It's very Tracy Morgan of you, right?
My recap for the episode is that Kenneth is upset because the page uniforms have changed. And so Tracy is trying to be a good friend and helps him grant his wish of getting a reunion for the finale with the cast of Night Court.
Mm-hmm.
And Liz and Jenna's old friend Claire comes into town and they have to deal with her not quite being as grown up as they are and dealing mm-hmm. with Jack and his attraction to
mm-hmm.
Claire.
Mm-hmm. I should have said that was very Tracy Jordan of you, and this is my constant battle is mixing them up. It's
interesting.
I can never keep them straight. It's terrible.
I actually do the same thing too.
All right, good. I'm not alone.
I feel like that's like a credit to what they were going for,
yes,
by trying to find the closest possible last name to like
100%.
Sub in for him. Plus it is like, it is Tracy Jordan is just Tracy Morgan's comedic character.
Right. It's not yes. like they're complete opposites. It's
no.
like literally.
It's him playing a, yeah. an extreme version of himself. As
well, that's
why
if you see like Tracy Morgan's stand up is just Tracy Jordan.
Yeah.
Yes. Plus, I mean, I shouldn't feel bad about my problem as seen by the other interview that came out this week where Jack McBrayer admitted that Tracy still calls him Kenneth.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was delightful.
Amazing.
About
adorable.
Eight people sent it to me and I was quite joyful over it.
Mm-hmm. I loved it.
This episode is really interesting to me because like how the F did this happen? Like they're all right, we're doing our like star like guest role, we had Oprah, we're gonna have Steve Martin, we got Jennifer Aniston, everyone wants a Friends reunion, I know, let's spoof it with a Night Court reunion. Like where on earth, I just wanna, it's another one of those like how did this happen and I wish I knew the behind the scenes story.
Yeah,
because dear lord, this is, no one saw this coming.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a goof on the Night Court people,
mm-hmm.
Because everyone knows very historically that the Friends refuse to do a reunion of any
mm-hmm.
kind.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, I don't know about you guys.
Did you see just yesterday there was all this
I'm
stuff about
them.
a new season again?
No, I really don't think it should
it's
happen.
No, someone, it was, it's just people Photoshop the same shit,
right?
And
the
change
logo
the
with
year
NBC
every year,
and that,
yeah, and then like a picture frame or like,
yeah,
come on, people, get over it. Like,
yeah,
I am. Reunions are usually fine because that's just like they're on a talk show or
yeah,
some shit.
And it's fun to see them all together in that
yeah,
sense.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like a Graham Norton interview, I'd be game for that. Didn't they do that? Never mind. I don't know.
Yeah, but like, well, that's what I think in this one, it's a Night Court revival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really more what it is.
Which is what I am decidedly against. Mm-hmm. To use your new favorite word
well
again.
Done.
Yes. I am like categorically opposed to revivals. And I challenge anyone to point me in the direction of a successful one.
I'm really intrigued at this because that was the fun thing about X-Files is that he kind of was a huge part of the X-Files coming back. And I like that you guys, the Friends podcast, are doing the opposite work of like, no one do it. Everybody stop.
No
well, one wants it.
I mean, let's look. X-Files?
Yeah. We're still getting more and I'm on board. But
talk about a monster of the week as far as revivals go.
It's like that's a
I'm not throwing shit. I love that show. I love a lot of other shows that are that have had or are having revivals.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's possible for them to be good, and historically none of them have. So
no, I mean, the 30 Rock reunion on SNL was tricky. I will say the thing, my goal, my heart would be for this show, I would love a Christmas special, an NBC 30 Rock Christmas special that I could get into. I like theme episodes. I like British approaches to how we bring things back. I want a Christmas episode. Christmas. No one else is asking for this, but I'm fighting for it. That would be my dream.
Well, I just think I'm going to laugh like 50 years in the future. It's like, what was TV like in the early 2000s? Oh, it was just rehashing what happened in the 90s and 80s or whatever. I feel like there's so many, been so many revivals the last 5 years.
We've been cash cabs coming back.
Yeah. I take back everything I said. No. But I will say, at least for 30 Rock, I think you guys are still in the, you're still in the grace period where, like,
it was just a long break versus a,
yeah, it's not really, because for 30 Rock it would just be like literally everyone who did it, like, meeting up again a couple years after it ended. You know what I mean? Like,
because it was 4 years. It ended in 2013.
Yeah, yeah. Because all the stuff, like all the stuff that's been having revivals and that people want to, like Friends and stuff, it's all stuff that's like, it's been over for at least a decade or two.
Yeah, except for, I think Arrested Development was the only one that was still, because Arrested Development wasn't 10 years, but yeah, all the other, like, because Gilmore Girls and.
Yeah, but that's years? What the, but Arrested Development is, was a renewal.
Oh, okay. That's true.
Which I think was like,
so why wait?
Both times.
A renewal versus a revival?
Because they're just like, they're doing another season now, too. Like, they just brought the show back.
They just continued it.
Oh, it wasn't a one-time special. Okay, yeah, I get it again.
Well, that and, well, I think a lot of it, too, is just, like, who's involved behind the scenes. Because, like, when Arrested Development came back, it was, like, all the same writers and producers were like, oh, cool, we have, like, a show again that we lost a couple years ago. Like, it wasn't,
it was still on their brain.
Yeah,
was,
which is, like, I think, like, would be sort of similar to what, you know, any 30 Rock thing would be doing at this point, where I assume it would just be like Tina and Robert,
like,
and all the
they're
same
already
people.
All working on stuff together. Might as well just change their
they
mindset
would just
a little
change
bit.
The
yeah.
placard on the Kimmy Schmidt room and be like, all right, back to 30 Rock.
That's true.
But yes, I mean, the older stuff, it's all just, I mean, I think a lot of it too is just in the vernacular. It's like, if you want to revive something, it means it's dead. It means it should be.
Interesting,
keep
it
dead.
Yeah. I think that's a...
It's dead for a reason.
That's true.
Yeah.
I never thought about that, revived. Fair enough.
That checks out vocabularily.
I stand by. It's your not syntax. Yeah. What's the other one? I don't remember. I study literature, I promise.
Okay.
It's syntax and diction. I think this plot line reminded me a lot of Gandalf the Party Wizard plot on Friends. I thought it was
also
a little bit of a lovely, like a loving ripoff.
There's a How I Met Your Mother episode of that too, where where their friend comes in from out of town.
So,
I wrote that down.
I guess it's an NBC brand joke.
Yep.
Yeah, I was more just, I just found myself sick to see Rachel kissing Phoebe's ex-boyfriend Parker. I was like, this seems,
right.
I was like, this seems out of bounds.
Inappropriate.
Also, like, she's married to Ross. Like, that's not really.
There's a couple
this
of weird
really
things
not great.
Going on.
I didn't think about that, but you're right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He's one of my favorite boyfriends on that show. Oh, goodness. So that was my
He's
note.
Great. He kind of plays like a bizarro Jack Donaghy.
Yeah, he's Friends. So excited. And so, oh, man.
He has the same, like, he's in a suit the whole time.
Uh-huh.
He has the same, like, big personality and stuff,
yep.
But he's like, he is the, what's it called? The, like, the positive chaos to, like,
oh, right, to, yeah,
to Jack's, like, negative chaos or whatever.
I can see that.
Well, Alec
brother,
must be
basically.
Right in the center, just like the core of it.
I don't know. Like, I think he leans a little negative too.
Probably.
We've all heard him stories about him snapping at flight attendants and such.
I just finished his autobiography, and talking about the issue with the voicemail with Ireland is heartbreaking to listen to him explain what it was and how what's his face, how his the ex, what's her name, what's his ex-wife's name, I can't remember what her name was.
Sarah
Kim Basinger.
Kim Basinger, yeah. How
I don't know why that was the first name that came to mind.
I was like, I don't think.
Well, do you know, it threw
me. I knew it wasn't correct.
But
I just
the name
pulled
you went
the
with.
First female celebrity.
It just it threw me because Matthew Broderick was like just on this the episode a couple episodes ago,
yeah,
and I was like, I was like, that's weird. That's Matthew Broderick's wife. He was just on the show. Yeah.
Weird.
Fun fact: Ferris Bueller and what's her face from Sex and the City got married.
Carrie Bradshaw.
Or actually, I like
it's a perfect union of things I don't like.
Or I could say the teacher from Election married Carrie Bradshaw. That's
he's
more
just,
interesting.
He he's Inspector Gadget to me. He will always be Inspector Gadget to me. He's always will be. Okay, let's talk about the Claire storyline, right? So Jennifer Aniston plays Claire, and she's in from out of town, and Jenna and Liz are not excited about this because she acts like she's still 21 years old and wants to go to clubs and parties, and that's just not quite where Jenna and Liz are at anymore.
No, but damn it, when you see Jen Aniston, you're like, yeah, that makes sense. She's so hot. She could pull it off.
Oh, 100%.
God, she looks so good on the
show. I wanted to see
a
scene.
Always?
Cool. I mean, forever.
I'm just not used to seeing
her so up close.
They did like a lot of really subtle Rachel things, like having her also, like, she's still in fashion.
Oh, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
that's true.
Other things, I assume.
But number one, yes.
Fashion designer still.
Mm-hmm. I really, really, really wanted there to be a scene between Claire and Ceree. Like, I wanted that scene to happen because I feel like I can't decide whether Ceree would just love her and Jenna would get jealous to see that interaction, or if Ceree would want to be like Claire when she was older. I don't know. I feel like
that would have been interesting. I'm also really surprised there wasn't more competition between Jenna and Claire. You feel like that would actually be quite a contentious because the attention kind of stuff and crazy.
I guess they kind of had to choose between playing that with either her or Jack.
Yeah, yeah.
And
then
with
been
the
too
Jack
much.
Route, because I guess it might have been like too much.
Claire getting pulled in these weird directions.
Yeah, yeah. But,
well, plus when you bring in like a Jennifer Aniston, you want to put her in with the leads of the show, not having her with like some plot B plot, but still it was interesting to see that dynamic.
I also think it's good that they avoided, I think it's a little more tropey for like the old best friend to come in and like threaten the new best friend or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Oh, that's true, because Jenna's not the new best friend. It's Jack is the new. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, because also they had you have the aspect of like Jenna already doesn't like her because they both have a history with her and stuff. But I thought it was the only thing that like tripped me up with like that, the girl trio and all that was going on was like it seemed odd as a single person that like Liz and Jenna are both single and their single friend is coming into town and she wants to like go party and stuff. And they're just like, no, like we don't want to, we're not about that.
Like,
it's
anyone
like,
can do that for a night. Like, you're all single
exactly.
ladies. Why
like,
not? Yeah.
Like I would get, cause in a lot of sitcoms and stuff, like I think you mentioned How I Met Your Mother and in Friends to a certain extent, they have like when the party friend comes to town, it's like, that's not who we are anymore. Like I have like, I live with my girlfriend and like I have a family now. And it's like, it seemed a little strange in this one that they were just like, no, we're two single people in New York City, but we don't want to go to a party for one night with you, our old friend from out of town.
What's even weirder, because you know because in season one, Jenna takes Liz to a club.
Yeah, it makes sense for Liz more to me, but not Jenna at all. Not Jenna. Jenna is constantly out and about.
It would have, just to like propose rewrites, because we do that constantly on our podcast, is like, what we would have done here is like, I would have played more on the fact of that, like what they get into, which is Claire, is that her name in this one?
Yeah.
Is that she has such shitty taste in partying.
Uh-huh.
And like, I would have made it like with their just like, oh yeah, like, let's like, why don't we like go, we'll go to like, let's go get tea or something, or go do something chill, or go to a movie. And she's like, no, I want to go to a warehouse party where the only requirement is that we all DJ.
Right.
And like, I feel like that would have been like a more believable juxtaposition, is like, they're trying to get her to go to like Applebee's or some shit.
Yeah.
And they're in, you know, and then you just have like funny Liz shit of like, the appetizers are $2 for $20. Like,
they know where the party's going to lead to. It's not just we're going out to hang out something. They know that's just step one.
Yeah. And it is in Claire's character where they're just like, if you kind of just play up the fact of like, think like Claire is someone who things always go off the rails with.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we saw in like the Jack storyline too.
And so if it is happy just birthday like, or
so
mannequin come to life.
Like from
I'd love to see mannequin come
so
to life.
But like it seems like it would have been a little, it might have tracked a little better if it was just like from the beginning, Liz and Jenna's thing is like, we have to try to contain this. Like we're gonna have to see her, we're gonna have to spend time with her. Like, let's try to plan out the whole night, like, know where everything's going, like, don't let her get away from us. And then you have Claire just, like, blowing it off the rails in the same way that she does with, like, the Jack storyline, where he's like, I got this, I'll contain it, like, it's all good. And then it's immediately, like,
right. It's
she's
like
a psycho.
Later on, when Liz's cousin comes to town after she outs him, and how she wants, let's just sit down here and stay mm-hmm. here in the apartment. He's like, nope, peace out, I'm gone.
Mm-hmm. I just thought of like a totally different episode now that was just inspired by Jennifer Aniston in Office Space with her waitress flair and everything. I was like, if she's like, she's coming to town, they want to do this chill thing, they're dead set on Applebee's. They have some new appetizer that Liz is like very Liz fired up about. Mm-hmm. And
cheesy blasters.
Yeah. They have like double cheesy blasters. And she just wants to do that. Claire is very against it. Blah, blah, blah. They finally get her there against her will. They find out that she didn't want to go there because Claire's down on her luck. She's been working as a waitress at the Applebee's.
Oh.
That is like an episode of Friends when Joey mm-hmm. works at Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Good that shit. Is a good one. That would be a lot of character development for sure for her. Mm-hmm. I think that would have given her a lot to work with because she has, I think they really like play into her comedic abilities in this one. Like her being like that great scene where she's Marilyn Monroeing yes. it for Jack, which I really, really enjoy. So they gave her a lot to work with, but I don't really get a sense other than they're not building into that character actually like giving her like a lot of depth. It's just here's a bunch of quirky situations. Well, be adorable, but really scary.
She's a cartoon.
She is a cartoon. You're right. I just keep seeing them all as Bob's Burgers animation style, and I'm really enjoying it every time you say that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's even more similar to like it always plays like Looney Tunes to me.
Oh, interesting.
I think there's
especially
a
with
not,
the music, because the music in Looney yep. Tunes would be and the, get Jeff Richman out there.
The pacing mm-hmm. and even the depth, like mm-hmm. in a very non-shitty, like I'm a big fan of the show way, where like there's a lack of depth to 30 Rock that is very cartoonish. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's just like that's how that humor works. It's like you sacrifice some like dramatic and character depth for the sake of like fast-paced constant yeah. humor and all that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. That's how it's read to me.
Interesting.
And like every time I mention the show, I keep gesturing to my TV, which is off. It's just like, that's where it happens.
But it's this right is where
there.
The show
They're
is.
Right there.
That's where the 30
this
Rock
is. Where
is.
The show happens. But, well, I want to talk about, there was a moment in the scene where Jack meets Claire for the first mm-hmm. time, right? And they're all talking and he's telling them about New York. And there's the line, cupcakes are out or what? We're off cupcakes and on to donuts.
Donuts, yeah.
And my thought was, this is 2009. Mm-hmm. Was California that far behind? Because in 2009, we were all still very much in the cupcake phase. I thought cupcakes didn't go out till like 3-4 years ago.
I think
are
it's
we
a
this
joke.
Behind?
I think it's a joke on the fact that cupcakes were in.
Things are stupid. Mm-hmm. Move on back to donuts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I think like the 2012 equivalent would have been like, they're like, oh, like cronuts are out.
Oh, right.
Like croissant witches are the new thing, which are cronuts. Specifically Burger King breakfast sandwiches. only poll I had there.
You pulled it perfectly. I really enjoyed
now
it.
Now sponsored by Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good time to say I am sponsored by Burger King.
You pull out your crown.
Where else can you get 3 pancakes for 89 cents? Only Burger King. Have it your way.
It's like that Arrested
Send
Development
thing. Send my check,
thing.
Fuckers.
Well, and Liz
we're actually recording
Verizon.
This at a Burger King. So, yeah.
I wish.
Arrested Development, Carl Weathers style.
That's right.
Exactly. All right, Kels, what's next?
All right, so Claire, so they're like, oh, we have to deal with Claire. But of course, Jack sees something pretty and wants it and gets it. And then he just very quickly, he's all excited with Claire and then very quickly realizes, oh, bad idea. And Liz has to try and help him get away from Claire. I love, though, when it's like Liz realizes how quickly Jack has slept with Claire within like 20 minutes or an hour of him meeting her. And all of a sudden Liz is like, no, she's crazy. And you get this thing where she says, we used to call her this. And so the closed captioning says that he thinks she wrote down crazy
putty.
Mm-hmm. I always thought it was crazy buddy, and then I was like closed caption crazy putty. What? I don't know. I was like crazy buddy is what made sense to me for some reason. Like it made
sense. I had
sense
a hard time with this joke too, and I had to Google it and then look at it written, and I was like, oh,
yeah, it's
I
not,
finally understand yeah. this joke. Like 5 times in, yeah. I now understand.
I had to go to Reddit
saying.
To tell me what it was.
Well, I like that when I started searching this episode, it's the second thing that came up. It was the one with the Cast and I Court crazy putty, and yeah, I was like, oh, well, other people mean? Are having a hard time with this one.
Yes.
Made me feel a little better.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, but then you just, she talks about how crazy she is. And this is now, we have, I think this is the third Scottie Pippen reference we've had.
Woo woo.
All of everything. That is just their go. I was explaining this to my friend last night how Scottie Pippen is like Tina Fey's go to athlete. Like, that's who she's going to mention.
That's amazing.
And
I didn't
love
know that.
It. Yeah, because she, it's because Tracy fell asleep on Scottie Pippen's roof. Later on, Verna assaulted Scottie Pippen. And now we've got this thing with Scottie Pippen, how she declares the reason Scottie Pippen is now in Houston.
It's like a Chicago thing. I don't know. I didn't know who Scottie Pippen was until we did this podcast. And I got chewed out by people.
Wow. I don't it's probably just an age thing.
Maybe I don't sport. I thought he was the lead singer of the band Chicago because they made a joke about that.
Oh, my gosh.
Apparently, that's not right either.
Well, I like... Tina, if you're listening, get at your boy. I met Scottie Pippen in a Waffle House in Florida one time.
Explain. Walk us through this. We're getting to the source.
In an airport, but please tell me your story. Yeah.
So everyone's meeting Scottie Pippen but me? I wouldn't know anyone.
When I was a kid, it was Christmas Day. It was either coming to or going from Disney World. And as
brag.
Anyone. Yep. Been once as a child. You know the life. It was either... where was I? Oh, regardless, as anyone in the South knows, the only thing open on Christmas Day, because it's open every day, is the wonderful and immortal Waffle House. Mm-hmm. And so me, my dad, and my sister, and we stopped at a Waffle House to get some food. The only other people in there, who we recognized because my dad was a really big Bulls fan, like in the 90s in their heyday, the only other people in the Waffle House were Scottie Pippen and his mom and daughter.
That's amazing.
And my dad was like, I think that giant man over there is Scottie Pippen. And I was like, I mean, checks out. And then we saw he had like one of his rings on and everything.
Cool.
And so we just like,
I'm assuming that's a Victor ring.
Walked over and very briefly said, hello,
Mr. Pippen.
We love you. Like, hope you guys have a lovely Christmas.
And how did he respond?
Stuff. Yeah.
That's awesome.
He was very nice.
I've been misspelling his name this whole time.
It's not like the musical.
Well,
if
no,
that's where you messed up.
No. I was spelling it. He has Scottie. An IE at the end, yeah, like I do, yeah. Not a Y. So me and Scottie Pippen have a lot in common,
you
guys.
You should start a podcast.
We should. Ends with an IE.
Or you can call it, make like a language thing, be like IE. I.e. a podcast.
Damn it.
Boom.
Just so people are just going to be stealing these ideas.
Boom.
Okay, so this is what Scottie Pippen looks like. So if I saw him, I could be like, hey, so you're not the lead singer of that band Chicago, right? That's your connection to Chicago?
I want
to
know, like, do you know all these references that Tina Fey has made to you?
Oh, does she, like, have an idea of, like, does he know, like, how beloved he is by this show?
Right.
I think that is something worth telling him.
That's
for
what
sure.
I want to know.
For sure. So in this scene, too, where she finds out that... where Liz finds out that Claire has left with Jack, Claire comes out and she says he's giving me directions to the F train. And I felt like high-fiving her in that moment.
Yeah, that
it was
great.
Such a great, terrible joke. And I could tell you clearly didn't like it, but I laughed.
No,
I hadn't
right,
caught
right.
it. I didn't know New York trains until a little more recently.
Wait, you know? Oh, you never... Oh, I think I...
Did you look up the trains?
No. Because the F train is mentioned in another episode before, too.
Oh, I don't remember.
That's
it.
Where Carrie Fisher's character lives, by the F train.
Oh, they made that up then too, right? Is there an F train? Am I missing this? I just know the L train and the D train.
I
figured
sure,
they're all letter
actually,
trains.
But that's as soon as they said it, I knew it was a fuck. I knew it was a fuck joke.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I was like, yeah, I know.
And it was only, and it was just very Liz that she didn't. And she's like, hey, wait a minute.
Exactly.
Oh, freaking.
I love
that joke very much. Yes, Scottie Pippen again too. Yeah. That's what I wrote.
Claire brings us Frank's only hat. For the episode.
God, it looks so good on him.
That it's a hat without any words on it. It's just a green fedora bowler hat.
He looks like the bass player in like an Irish pub band with that hat.
He looks like the Pied Piper mascot. if they were trying to branch out into Williamsburg.
Yes.
Oh my God, he's just like the figure on that like jacket that Jared wears. Oh my gosh, yes. Basically, if people reference Pied Piper to me, I will laugh very hard. I love that show. That
he looks
good.
Like an actual Pied Piper if he were hired to lead hipsters out of a gentrified neighborhood.
He looks like an unsuccessful Pied Piper because every parent would know immediately what he was up to.
Mm-hmm. He looks like a 2017 Peter Pan in that he refuses to grow up because he's a millennial hipster.
That one gets applause.
Thanks.
That's like the perfect one, because that's exactly who he is, too.
Oh, good. I can stop.
Mm-hmm. You've succeeded.
You've made us laugh today. You're good.
Mm-hmm. What every comedy person secretly wants is just someone that says, "You're really funny. You can stop now." Like, oh, thank goodness.
Good to know. I'm going to use this from now on.
Just relax.
That's how I can affirm people. Good to know. I want to just go back. I've made this comment earlier, but I do want to come back to it. It's been a very long time. Just with friends, there's with any multicam, it's just they're farther away feeling because the cameras are further back. You don't get too many close-ups. And again, Jennifer Aniston is so beautiful, and I hate being a part of those people who are like, her hair, but F, her hair in this is so great.
She has hair?
Yeah, she does. Did you notice? Nice. I also shotgunned all of Catastrophe this weekend, so I'm all caught up. And Sharon Horgan.
I watched it last night.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so good.
After Chris Gethard, I rolled into Catastrophe.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's so
good. That show just hits me in a really real spot.
Oh, it hits me in a really real spot where I am someone who basically just wants to drop everything and move to London and marry a British girl.
I think that's a great goal, and I affirm you in that and wish you the best of luck.
And I will stop interrupting you.
No, because Sharon Horgan is a worthy goal holder.
Now you can go on.
Mm-hmm. I will help Kelsey out with that one. But also, Sharon Horgan has Jennifer Aniston level great hair in that show.
Her hair
is amazing. So that's how this connected. But the two of them both have beautiful, thick hair. And every time I watch the show, I'm just like, damn. So what else has happened?
Okay. So the Claire story wraps up with where is it? What, Jenna and Liz are waiting for Claire to show up at the club. She's not there. Jenna got a text or whatever that Claire's taking the F train, and Liz realizes, oh my gosh, she's with Jack. And so they run to go save Jack or she calls Jack and says, she's in your apartment. Jack is like, oh my gosh.
I made you a pot roast because you're so great.
She's in her little maid costume. And
yeah.
I mean, she looks good.
Oh,
for sure.
Looks real good. I know this isn't what's important about Jennifer Aniston. I hate that I'm perpetuating it, but like, I have to be honest. She looks amazing.
She's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then just later on, then Jack and Claire are in front of a movie or something, and Claire pulls a gun out.
Oh, well, they're going to the club, and the idea of Jack at a club is horrifying to me.
Yeah, it's very weird.
It's horrible. Him just in that line.
Love that. I just love that scene, though, of her just like, I don't know. It's a really common personality thing, but like, as soon as she had the thing that she wanted, she was just like immediately bored. And and Jack went from like this like successful tough guy to just like a little puppy dog who's just like, oh,
with
this
that
is
horrible
so
hat.
Like, I can't wait to spend time with you. And she's just like, I need out now.
Jack and that hat might be my favorite part of this entire episode.
It's just so horrible.
I do like it even more on Liz, because
it does look pretty good on Liz.
As I was watching, he put the hat on her, and I said,
when
she looks like
the
Mad Hatter. And then that's the exact reference that he makes. And I was like, okay, I feel vindicated.
Some Lewis Carroll reference. No, the whole time I'm like, that it looked like an Alice in Wonderland hat. And they 100%. Make that joke, which I was very glad. So at least Jack's self-aware, right? Oh, yeah. Thank God.
He knew it was a bad hat. He just liked
Rachel.
He just
loved her. He did like Rachel. He liked Rachel very much.
Man, I wonder if this is actually like, if you can read this as like canon. Like, what if when Phoebe dumped Parker for being so positively annoying and annoyingly positive.
Mm-hmm.
What if that like broke him? He decided to change his name to Jack Donaghy and switch up his whole personality.
That's like Barney and How I Met Your Mother.
Exactly. I think that's the situation we're looking at here.
I kind of remember.
I think Jack Donaghy was Parker and became Jack because of Phoebe.
Interesting.
I mean, first of all, Friends sets up that sort of continuity with Mad About You? Mm-hmm. He's Mad About You, right?
Or is Phoebe's twin sister.
Exactly, with Ursula.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I would love to consider the NBC universe, like Tarantino-esque universe, where these are all different properties which either interact or are inspiring each other.
I think they are, but there's also like a lot of weirdness where there's like, I don't know, it's a weird like quasi continuous universe where like you have things like in one episode of Friends they watch Die Hard and they love it and they quote it, and then seasons later Bruce Willis is on Friends as someone who isn't Bruce Willis, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Because even then I think with Mad About You, they're like Helen Hunt is in an episode as her character from Mad About You. So then you're just like, okay, so there is stuff there. But then there's other things where it's just like,
what the fuck's going on.
No, 30 Rock did that with Wayne Brady. They keep talking about, like, you stole an Emmy from Wayne Brady. And then three episodes later, Wayne Brady comes
he shows up as Mr. Black, dating
Liz. And that always, like, as someone who likes, like, strong canon and likes, like, continuity, it bugs me out every time. I enjoy it, so... It's interesting, but I would love to hear like a really solid Tarantino-esque theory about like how all of NBC must-watch TV shows are connected in some way, shape, or form.
We've been working on one for a while. We are, what is it now? We're about 2.5 years into our podcast, and yesterday we just recorded the 2-part series finale, and we've we bring this up a lot, like really anytime there's something going on, because there's so many examples of like things that line up from other shows. And even in the first or second season, there was a very intentional NBC Thursday night
crossover with the
Blackout, which was, it was brilliant because they did all four shows, were all four sitcoms from that night all took place in New York. And they did a thing where on the same night...
That's so cool.
There was a blackout in the city, and all four different shows had a blackout episode.
Dang.
And so that was immediately like, boom, these are all in the same universe.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of like, all the other stuff is, you know, smaller type stuff with like the Mad About You crossover and different celebrities and all that. And then...
Oh, and the ER crossover.
Yep, yep.
The way that I would say the later years of the must-watch TV, which is The Office, and I wish Parks and Rec, but is the connectors Conan. Conan appearing on all these different shows himself.
Oh, yeah.
Really fascinates me. My favorite one being The Office one, which just kind of messes it up because he's like, oh, it's Tina Fey, and it's not, and then Conan just walks by. The very recognizable Conan, which I absolutely adore. But that's fascinating. I like when TV does weird stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like when Undateable decided to do all live episodes for a season.
Well,
yeah, I mean, hey,
they didn't decide to do that.
They got, that's true. They had a really great Ed Sheeran episode, and then it tested
really well. And then the network decided, and they were not super happy about it.
Pick us up, Kelsey. Let's start talking. I think we covered the Claire plot line. Why don't we go to
Night Court.
Court, I have so many
at
questions.
Night?
I have a lot of questions.
I'm already laughing.
I've never seen Night Court. That's step one.
I haven't either.
Okay, good.
I just love I just love Tracy Jordan's reaction. Because I feel like that is literally, that's the intended reaction of any show before like 1990. Was like the whole thing was you're supposed to just be like, bosom buddies, I'm already laughing.
Right.
Like, and I don't know. TV was so weird before us. Before our generation came about, which I'm sure is something that they were probably saying that in like the 70s. They were like, oh, you believe this fucking.
That was funny.
I'm trying to think of a show before 1970.
These honeymooners nonsense over here.
What is this about?
Shit. No, Night Court hits me as ridiculous because I never watched anything like it. I really loved when they cut with that scene with... Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Go for it.
All right, thank you. I appreciate you. You let me fly. I like that when they cut in Jenna's character, Sparky Monroe,
yes.
And just seeing... Because
when they Forrest Gumped her in there?
I know, exactly.
Or for the true fans, when they Zelig'd her in there.
Ooh.
We're not true
isn't that,
fans.
Isn't that Happy Days?
No, Zelig was the...
Where'd you
no,
get Happy
I'm sorry.
Days?
Who's
Zelig's
Morgan
the Woody Mindy? Allen movie that actually invented the technology that Forrest Gump made famous. They spliced in Woody Allen's character into a bunch of like actual historical footage. And to the point where people were just like, they were like, holy shit.
That
like,
happened?
How are they doing this? And then it was, and then obviously Forrest Gump made it like really famous with like dropping him into all the, you know, actual scenes with like Reagan and Elvis and all that shit.
That's almost like when we were talking about the Uncanny Valley a couple episodes ago, and you were talking about your favorite experience of the CGI person was when they... Who was it that they put into...
Remind me, because I can't remember.
I want to say it was Marilyn Monroe that they threw into...
Oh, Audrey Hepburn, a Dove commercial.
Sorry,
yeah, they did a really incredible...
Oh, weird.
They did the Bob Zemeckis, like, too real thing, but they took Audrey Hepburn and they put her in Italy eating chocolate and, like, flirting with an Italian man. And I was like, I am into all of this because I don't get any more Audrey Hepburn movies. And she looks so good and she had the haircut. Gives me the feelings.
That was also weird, though, because, like, you could literally, like... It's been long enough for her that, like, you could just find someone who looks just
very
like
similar.
Audrey Hepburn.
For sure.
Like, it seems like a big waste of money
to,
like, completely CGI. I think 9 out of 10 people in 2017 would not be able to tell if it was, like, if even if someone, if they were, like,
you hold up a picture of Audrey Hepburn, like, they'd be like, oh, it's like that famous lady, right? Or like,
yeah,
it hurts that girl from that thing.
It hurts me because, and this is not, I'm a huge Michelle Williams fan. I think she is deeply talented and incredible. But I did not like My Week with Marilyn because you can't, when it's someone iconic like Marilyn Monroe, you can't just take another actress and have her be her. The whole point is that no one has ever been like Marilyn Monroe before and everyone's trying to be her now.
I was a big Smash fan and I really liked the Marilyn Monroe stuff that happened in that.
I mean, yeah, it's fun to watch, but like I wasn't trying to watch Smash to see about Marilyn Monroe. I was watching My Week with Marilyn to see about Marilyn Monroe. It was like a major issue for me. I had a really hard time, and that's me being unfair, but clearly. I'm also a huge Marilyn Monroe fan. Some Like It Hot is my favorite movie because it's perfect.
We're trying to get her more passionate about things and she's like almost there.
Okay. Just give me a minute, I gotta calm down now. But just when you were like, just have someone else be Audrey Hepburn, I just got so upset for no good reason.
What's another?
She auditioned for a role and she didn't get it, and this is it. Her she can't do it, nobody can.
I mean, I'm clearly trying to be Audrey with my black-on-black ensemble today, so I think I'm really... I was actually going for more French teenager, and I think I nailed it, but...
You're not a French teenager?
Oh my gosh, bonjour, merci.
Sounds like French.
Je ne comprends pas.
That checks out.
I just said yeah, anyway.
Congrats on the election today.
Thanks. Right. Do we know what happened?
Yeah.
Did we see what happened? I was looking at this morning and I didn't see it.
Yeah, French
I went
to Trump
church.
Didn't win, luckily.
Oh, okay, so I'm
actually
off
French
one.
Trump got smashed.
Really?
I think it was, yeah, I think it was like 60% to like 35%.
I'm like Googling this French because I checked it before church. Yeah,
I don't know how to pronounce any. Well, I think I do. Macron won by I think he won with 60.1% of the vote, and Le Pen got like 35% or
dang.
So.
Yep.
And it was a historically low turnout for France with 74%, which is I think 10% higher than like
the
highest
we've ever
U.S.
done.
Turnout.
That's
in like 20 years. But it's also because France holds their election on weekends, and they also automatically register all citizens to vote.
That's nice of them. Mm-hmm. And the weekend thing as well.
You know, because they're like, they got like an actual year. Democracy thing going on.
Right,
over.
Right.
Constitutional
you don't have to ask
republic.
For time off work and.
Garbage.
We'll save that.
Well, all right. This is nuanced territory.
is it?
I'm not. This isn't the setting for me to go into my feelings on the Electoral College, so I think I'm not going to. Mm. But I was considering it for 2 seconds. But anyway.
It's all right. We're so night court.
Court.
Does anyone know what night court's about?
I wrote the IMDb says an eccentric, fun-loving judge presides over an urban night court and all of the silliness going on there.
What's a night court? It doesn't answer the essential question.
It's court at night.
But how? But is that actually a thing?
Yeah.
I've dealt with government facilities. They do not like to stay open past 5 p.m.
Yeah. No, it's not a thing. Not even on Friday. Sometimes.
Like what's the
well, yeah, here's the thing
that work during the day, they can't get off work.
So this is what made me intrigued, because I was looking at the Sparky Monroe thing and they're like, you're the jump in the shark. And so I was like, was this actually a typical kind of like plot line for night court to have like a were lawyer? So I did a little research and I found a Discus comment thing, and I found some articles and I was reading Discus. Is that how you pronounce it? That the comment section of something.
Sure.
Someone reviewed the episode and then everyone was commenting, and the majority of the comments were not about Jennifer Aniston. They were about Night Court. And a lot of people feel all their feelings of excitement or frustration with the finale of Night Court were given, which was very entertaining.
So that's an actual thing. Is that like Lost? How like people were so upset about the finale of Lost?
Well, I mean, again, these fans.
People that didn't get it.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is getting real contentious because I'm also on the feeling this. Man.
I've still never watched the whole last season.
Jamie and I are going to start feuding soon.
right there.
Just saying. It was all laid out in a very logical way.
I think it's one of those things where the
most of the people I know that hate it, it's because like I ask them like, okay, explain what happened. They're like, yeah, well, okay, purgatory. It's like, all right, that's fair.
So you kind of got it.
So you like think got it. I don't know, I'm not trying to talk bad about anyone, any hypothetical people.
Well, I want to say, so the Sparky Monroe thing, I was looking and apparently there was a Wile E. Coyote episode of Night Court where someone named Wile E. Coyote. I read that. I do not know this from experience. All you Night Court fans out there, don't get too mad at me on Twitter, but I read that that was a thing. So they did do kind of spoofy.
We were barely
cases.
Alive when the show was on the air. It
okay,
was from 84 to 92.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Damn, this is so much about Kenneth. But I said, so here are all the Night Court reference. This is another Night Court reference I didn't get. So apparently the whole time, you know how Tracy suddenly is wearing those little glasses and has like a clipboard the whole time?
I love him when he's got the glasses on.
So this is the thing. Those are Max, the man. That's how his character dressed on the
transitioning
show.
To
more and more, and then he goes like, "Well, I'm gonna play. I told him I play Mac on the live in the movie version." And
that
Mac's
was
like, "Excuse
so
me,
funny."
He's dressing like Mac for the whole episode when he starts doing that.
What about okay?
Can I? Oh, sorry.
No, go for it.
Go for it.
Can I provide some very relevant background?
Please.
Mm-hmm.
Looking through the Night Court wiki, getting some really good info here.
Oh, give us the dish.
It's very comedic, apparently, from the beginning. And
as most courtrooms are.
And they said it, as the seasons progressed, it got even wackier and whimsical and slapsticky.
Okay.
I think in a way where, like, it does sound like the were-lawyer
this could have been the finale.
Not terribly off base. And like you were just mentioning, it's referenced here. Logic and realism were frequently sidelined for more surreal humor, such as having the cartoon character Wile E. Coyote as a defendant and convicting him for harassment of the Roadrunner with an admonition to find a meal by some other means.
Oh my gosh, was this like pre Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Like, did they animate the character onto the show?
That's what I'm curious. I'll look up some pictures.
This actually got very real for me. Soul. That's fascinating.
And it also says, in the opening episode of season 4, a ventriloquist dummy talks on his own without the ventriloquist to Dan, who panics and shouts while backing away slowly down the hall. Also, though, still no idea why it's called Night Court.
Nope.
Or if it's actually court that operates at night.
All right, I found a video.
I think it's actually court that operates at night. I'm pretty sure.
Doesn't make any sense.
Lawyers are busy during the day.
I find you guilty of harassment. And might I add, if you're hungry, go to a restaurant for criminy's sake or a grocery store, but leave that poor bird alone.
Oh my God.
Is it actually the cartoon character?
It's just Wile E. Coyote being angry, but yeah, it's like they
holy
full
shit.
On.
It's
they
Roger Rabbit.
Robert Zemeckis did.
Oh they Roger
my
Rabbit
gosh!
Oh my gosh!
Oh my gosh!
That's really cool. What,
where
so,
can I watch all 9 seasons
right,
of this
I
show
know.
Today?
Okay.
Also, I bet it's not funny anymore.
100%,
not in the least.
Oh my goodness!
But no, that's interesting though because I've never would have really cared about Night Court until now. I realized that they well, also, they Robert Zemeckis did. That's amazing. That's groundbreaking.
I knew nothing about Night Court. Mm-hmm. Other than like this episode.
Yeah.
And so like I always saw whenever I saw the DVD box or anything, I just thought it was like a legal procedural.
Right. Judge
apparently
Judy
it's a comedy.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
there was a laugh track.
Yeah. No, I,
yeah.
I had
could
no
tell,
idea.
You know, they were all smiling and stuff, but I just assumed it was like, oh, it's like a Lee. It's like a, what's it good? It's like, oh, Franklin and Bash. Okay, cool. It's like the old school Franklin and B.
That show. Well, can I actually bounce to something super quick then?
Go for it.
I've never seen Single White Female, and every reference to it confuses me, other than the idea that she's crazy and single and white.
Yeah, I haven't seen it
either. You haven't seen it either?
Me either.
No?
I think it's
but it was a reference.
About,
I'm like,
oh,
I get it.
I think it's something about like an obsessive friend or something.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Isn't that kind of what a...
Or like someone... Or like identity
and they
theft?
Just redid
something
it.
Like
didn't
that.
Didn't they just redo it? I thought they just redid it.
See, well, the thing is, it's such a vague term when they're like, oh, you're not going to single white female me. I thought it was just like, oh, it's like a stereotype about single
isn't
white
that,
women.
What's the, oh my gosh, what is this? The swan, oh, Black Swan.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that what that whole thing was about too? Isn't that part of the, because doesn't she get single white femaled by Natalie Portman or Mila
well, I think
Kunis?
It's, they were just the same person.
Oh, this is interesting,
oh,
guys.
Right.
Here's a fun twist.
Spoilers.
I'm like, oh, sorry, guys.
For
well, first of all,
I watched that a lot.
For everyone who still hasn't seen
right?
Darren
they
Aronofsky's
were waiting.
Black Swan.
Well, first of all, for your, for my West Wing bros here, mm-hmm. Stephen Weber's in Single White Female.
Okay.
No, Sunset 60 froze. So sorry. No. I mixed up Aaron Sorkin properties. Sunset 60.
I was like,
so that's for you.
Studio
thank
60
you.
Is what you're meaning to say.
Sorry. Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. It all gets combined. But other thing is, it has Jennifer Jason Leigh, who in the third
yes.
episode, Tina, yes. Liz Lemon's care is referred
thought,
to as.
I thought he meant Jason Leigh. She meant Jason Leigh.
Exactly. So fun stuff. I just,
I like
you know, it all comes together.
That was good.
That was something I want to talk about. I was curious about that. So thanks, guys.
Single white female. I like mm-hmm. it. I like that this whole storyline, because the whole Night Court thing is starting because Ken is upset because they changed the page uniform and he's just so uncomfortable in this new uniform. And I love when Kenneth loses his temper, it very rarely happens, but he just snaps at Liz because when he's like, can't you, the old one was refined and blah, blah, blah. She's like, then what do you do? He's so mad that Liz cannot control
so
what the page uniforms look like. There's this whole other thing happening with when Claire's there and Jack's at Meow's party, who's she's the biggest energy something or other in Asia. And he makes a comment that it's as part of their green initiative. So I think this is their Green Week episode, which David Schwimmer's was the Green Week episode as well.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
Oh, connected.
Yep.
Schwims. It is around the same amount of time because he's like, well, Greenzo's like episode 5, season 2, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this one's episode 3. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that was an intentional Ross-Rachel pairing then?
I would like to think so.
spiritual.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God, I love it. It's all connected.
Okay, so
that's everything I had to talk about.
Yeah, because then Tracy just gets the Night Court cast together. I couldn't figure out, it was bothering me how upset the Night Court cast was with Jenna, because you made us jump the shark. Like, she didn't write that storyline. You should be upset with the writers, not with the actress who was excited to have the job.
Yeah, also, it sounds like Night Court didn't have a lot of shark jumping to do from the beginning. Like, right. Seemed like they kind of came out of the gate jumping sharks.
Yeah, that's just what they did.
Should have called it Shark Jumpers. Would have made more sense.
You knew what you were
night
getting
court.
Into.
What does it mean?
Are you still trying to find it?
No, I was looking at something else.
Oh,
now.
No worries. I don't blame you, but I am curious.
It's related research.
I was hoping you'd get down to the bottom of it.
Man.
No one will. It's a mystery.
I'm just going to have to watch 9 seasons of
it's
Night
It's like
Court.
The truth is out there. Did
I wonder
it ever
if
come
it's
out?
Just like the series finale of Night Court. It's just like it all ends with like they look to the camera and the main character just says, because it's court at night. And you're finally like, oh, I'm free.
That's what
finally
we were
no.
Well, I don't think they had that closure, because in Kenneth's written closure, he goes, well, it's been quite a night. And it's been quite a courtship.
And Kenneth's like, yes, nailed it.
The look on his face is so adorable.
He's so happy.
And I still love the Tracy's like cutting gesture when Jenna's talking. Uh-huh. So
we'll
good.
Cut, I know, it's so good.
We'll cut that out.
Oh, I also want to just talk about Kenneth's taste, as like, because we're starting to see his like taste intel. We've already had Gold Case, and there's going to be more in the future. But I really like the fact that they give him kind of actually like a good. He's got this very homegrown, kind of solid, exact taste as like a person. Gold Case was pretty spot on. There were some practical
Gold Case
issues.
Was so fucking stupid.
There were some problems with it.
Oh, it's
but
so
I,
funny.
But I, like, I'm actually really intrigued as we see it goes. Like, Kenneth's taste, it's all a mockery of kind of TV, but also like there's something kind of worn and homegrown about it that I really appreciate the shows that he like encourages and is a part of.
Well, even when he later on, doesn't he come up with the blah bar? With like the black bar to get like nudity off the screen or whatever.
Like he's connected to middle America and what they want. The real America. Real America's what TV needs, right? Isn't that what they call it in the show?
Yes.
I can't remember.
Where's he from in Georgia?
Stone Mountain.
Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's where Donald's actually from.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Exactly. All right. If we're good, we can go to favorite lines.
Yeah. Well, I've got a couple of other just little things that when Claire is talking about the party, the club they want to go to, and she says it's a club that's sponsored by Mirt Vodka and some drug dealer, blah, blah. Mirt Vodka. Mirt is the word that Liz has used before to say, like, damn it. Mm-hmm. And she uses it first in MILF Island.
I remember that. We heard, nice. We looked it up for a while.
Yeah. Tracy's outfit when he first shows up is this lime green electric plaid button up and then an electric blue and lime green pattern jacket on top of it.
Interesting.
Always looks good, that man.
Kenneth makes a comment because when Tracy brings him into the studio to watch the Night Court team, he has him blindfolded. And Kenneth says, the last time I was blindfolded was when I was playing a piano at that weird masquerade party. And I would like to know what that was.
I mean, I think it's pretty obvious.
Yeah. Fill in the blanks there.
Yeah, for sure. God, poor Kenneth. Never has any party luck, does he?
No, he doesn't.
Mm-mm. The party gods are always cursing Kenneth.
Happy Halloween, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the rest of my little things. I've got a couple of favorite lines, but someone else can go first.
I really liked, he gave me the business.
Oh.
I just love how she's trying. Every
I like
time
that
she
whole
about
part
sex,
of her just trying to make it sound like
oh,
something
yeah.
actually happened.
That's, I think one of my favorite lines from that scene was when she was like, uh-huh. And I was at this club. Chili's. Like, my life right there.
Yeah.
I also really like the line. She goes, hey, Jack, Variety called us a comedy show.
Yes. I really like that. So excited about that.
It's that. Oh, and I think also this isn't a line, but I'm going to count it. I like the Ken getting so excited he starts crying, which is Internet's
so
favorite gif. Internet's favorite gif of just the laugh cry. It's great.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. That's me.
I like when Liz is mad at Jack for going back to Claire and she's like, I'm deleting you from my phone. Password, what?
Classic.
Nice little last minute joke.
Oh, it's so great.
You're so good at squishing those in.
But I think my real favorite line from this entire episode is when they're at the fundraiser for Me Out and they say, may tonight's fundraiser for your fundraising foundation be as successful as last week's cocktail reception for your rehab center.
Oh.
It's not like, I don't know, it's maybe one of the lazier jokes, but I did really like Jack's just like when they're standing there near the beginning and she's talking about Liz and Jack's just like he's like meow and there and then it was just like it was used as the intro for that character. Yes. And stuff.
And also to like comment on like the girly meanness.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. But that's like that's how it reads, and then they reveal, and he's like, "No, meow."
Exactly.
Oh. It's M-I-A-U, not mm-hmm. M-E-O-W.
But I like that joke too. It not just because they make it, but because how much she pops up in the rest of the episode, yeah, and yeah. how much they had to write meow in right. the script over and over because they wanted to make just the to make one, that joke. One joke.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of commitment I like to see in my TV shows. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I agree with that line. It's killer.
There's another foreshadowing of how old Kenneth is.
Yes.
Worn this jacket since 19. after Tracy says, "What's wrong, Ken? You got wife eyes."
Oh, that's
poor
dark.
Kenneth. Poor Kenneth.
Poor Kenneth. Poor Mrs. Jordan.
Oh,
that's really, how she looks really all like the time. Angie, I love Angie. Ham.
Ham.
Ham. I love Angie. Sherry Shepherd is incredible. And the whole thing is he says he calls them wife eyes because that's what his wife's eyes look like all of the time.
Okay, so I think that does it.
Yeah.
For today's episode. Jamie, where can people find you? Things that you have coming up or
my
things that are ending?
My address is right. one not... No, sorry.
By the time this comes out, will you have moved?
I know.
Oh, yeah. I just lead people to some poor civilian house.
When does this one come out?
Let me just double check. I am on Twitter and Instagram at jwoodham, J-W-O-O-D-H-A-M, as in, man, glad I followed that guy. My podcast that I host with Aaron Mallory Long is called Best of Friends. It's a lot of fun, a lot of goofs, lots of bits.
And you're, because we've talked about you finished Friends now, and now are you guys going straight into Joey?
Or most likely. After which, I believe we are going to start over Friends again, because people never want it to end, and we don't really want to stop, so we're just going to keep doing it in perpetuity.
I was hoping you'd say Grace and Frankie next, or episodes.
We try to stick to good shows. Except for Joey, which neither of us have seen, so we're really interested.
I'm really excited to see how that
to tackle
goes.
All two seasons of it.
Yeah.
We're just talking about the best way to do that right now because
nobody else has seen it either.
Yeah, yeah. So we're workshopping that, but it's like at most half about Friends, and the other half is like dating and sex and relationships and comedy bits and weird characters. And
they watched a porn together.
Yeah, we watched the Friends porn parody.
I saw that.
And did a lot.
Well, not the parody.
And we did a live. you've seen porn. That's cool.
Oh, exactly.
We're
the video. Of
yeah, we did a live watch of that.
How'd that go?
It was fine.
I
was
think
also
they watched
really
it on
funny.
This couch.
Yep, the couch where you're sitting now. Aaron put her phone under the TV and did a time lapse of us watching it.
That's
and
what
you
I
could
saw.
Just see,
okay.
Yeah, you could see her becoming like more and more uncomfortable with the movie as it progresses. Because they've like, it was clearly written by someone who knew nothing about Friends.
They knew there were six characters and that's about
yeah,
it.
And those, like, the people were so bad. It, I don't know. It was just like, not, I wouldn't recommend it. but yeah, that's a lot of fun. It's called Best of Friends. It's on iTunes and Spreaker and, you know, wherever podcasts are sold for no money. I said my social media thing. I think that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, Tina Fey, if you're listening, I'm on hiatus right now. I'd love to get a new writing job. So hire me. I assume she's out there.
She listens.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. She interacts a lot, but we're not allowed to read her responses.
Oh, mm-hmm. Interesting. She listens. That's the thing, though. She listens and she feels.
Yes,
I think so. I mean, we compliment her just her
on a regular basis,
constantly.
We call her autobiography the Bible.
Love it,
like,
love it.
This
plus,
is just a
I mean,
love
we
letter.
Had the crossover with Robert Carlock was on Friends for the
yes.
for most of the run.
Yes,
exactly.
And we've also a couple of his episodes in particular. We've noticed some Carlockian nuances to
mm-hmm.
them, so that's always fun to look at.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Perfect,
Kimmy. Where can people find you?
I'm at Kimchi Lucas. Just anywhere. I got nothing right now. My Wednesday show ended, so I'm sad. And the next, I work a show the second Wednesday of every month at the Virgil Radio Picture Show. Come watch me be flustered and make sure all the comedians' pictures pop up on the screen in time.
Nice. I like the Virgil.
Virgil's great.
Good spot.
It's a good venue. Good shows. So, second Wednesday of the month. Feel free to come on by.
I think I'm busy.
Okay, well, cool.
Just every second Wednesday.
I'm just always busy that night.
I'm just trying to instigate our feud.
Oh, damn it, it's working.
I just checked. I can't make it.
It just says be busy.
It is like the...
He invites me to his calendar just so I can see that.
I am pretty... Yeah, there's a joke like that on Friends where they were like, Ross invited him to something boring there, like, and Phoebe's like, oh, I can't make it, and he's like, I didn't tell you when it is. She's like, oh, I don't want to go then.
Or I remember that one. She has the same thing at one point where she was like, oh, like, we have something going on, and Rachel's like, we do, I want to hear what it is first.
yeah.
You can find me places at Redheaded Blonde on Instagram and Twitter and all that good stuff, and you can find our podcast at Talk 30 Rock to Me on Twitter and Instagram, and our email is talk30rocktome@gmail.com. Rate, subscribe, review.
Yeah, please subscribe, please review and rate and all that stuff. I don't know why it helps, but it helps. I just trust the iTunes gods and what they tell us to do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm watching American Gods, so I just think there's a god of everything.
Interesting.
Now. It's just kind of how it works.
Cool. Who's the god of the Electoral College?
Jamie, thank you Madison? So much for being here.
No, I'm thinking about this now, because it wouldn't be Thomas Jefferson. It probably would be James Madison. How about Jay Johnson? The one who only wrote 5 of the Federalist Papers before he got sick.
That lazy guy.
I know, because Hamilton wrote the other 51.
Did you see Lin-Manuel Miranda's tweet the other day, or his Facebook post, where he was like, APUSH students taking your test, I've done everything I can for you.
Yeah,
good luck.
Yeah.
Like, that's adorable.
He does do that every year. It's actually really cute.
I love it.
He that's a whole thing I'm not going to talk about. If I get on Lin-Manuel, we're never ending. So,
happens.
Mm-hmm. All right. I would love to end this episode in the style of Night Court by doing a freeze frame, guys.
Oh, we just did it.
Done.
Freeze frame.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.